Well, as I told the people in the first service, if my voice gets pretty raspy, I've been working with flood victims in my hometown of Greeley, Colorado. And it's been pretty devastating. So if I start croaking, you will take over, I hope. No. Well, this is Thoughts on Beauty. Is this working okay? Yes. Good, this is new to me. I first met Nancy in the second grade. She came lurching over to me on the playground at recess, and she said, "Guess what? My parents and your parents went to the same college, and they were friends, and so we should be friends." Well, Nancy was not quite the person I would have chosen as a friend. She was very awkward. I was quite athletic, and he was this very clumsy girl. Her hair was very mousy brown. Her eyes were too small. Her teeth were too big. Her skin was very white with little freckles all over it. And I thought, well, you know, since our parents had been friends, I'll give it a try. Why not? Well, I found out that Nancy, even though she was quite a scholar, always did perfect in school, really had a very good imagination. And we began to have fun together, imagining different things. Now, her mother and my mother were the Brownie leaders. And they got together one day, and they were having tea, talking about what to do for the Brownies. And Nancy and I were playing paper dolls down on the rug. And Edna, her mother, looked over and said, "Oh, Sylvia is such a beautiful little girl. How did Bud and I ever have such an unattractive little girl?" And Nancy stopped, and I watched her, and she just held one of the paper dolls for a couple of minutes, and then she started to play again. And when we got home, my mother said, "I was so angry at Edna. I wanted to say, well, Edna, have you looked in the mirror lately?" Well, Nancy and her family adopted me as a sister. Nancy had no siblings, and so when they went to Lake Louise, I went with them. Bainbridge Island, I went with them. We had a wonderful time. One of our favorite games was shipwreck, and we would go around the beaches on the island and look for little pieces of dishes and so forth and create this home for ourselves, these shipwrecked people. And every New Year's, we would go to friends' house and we'd get to taste wine. We became very, very dear friends. We even went to college together, Lewis and Clark College. And when the first year we were in college, the freshmen always had a dance, and we got to meet all the other freshmen. So Nancy really, really dressed up. She had this beautiful white skirt with big pink flowers on it, and she wore a pink blouse. Pink was a good color for her. And she put a little rouge on her cheeks and on her lips. And I thought she looked really nice. But at the dance, no one asked her to dance. The young man I hooked up with, I finally urged him to please dance with her once. I could tell Nancy was very disappointed because she had been so excited to meet some boys. As far as I know, Nancy never went out, never was asked on any dates. And eventually, she told me she was going to theological school back east. And I thought, yeah, that's it, Nancy. You know, women who cannot find husbands and cannot get married and have children go into religion. So there she was. And I thought she was really doomed. You know, poor Nancy, forever single, never having children, never knowing love. How very, very sad. A couple of years ago, Jerry and I went to Cape Cod, to Provincetown. And Jerry used to live in a dune shack in Provincetown. I'd never seen it, so we went, and we happened to be there on the week where they had Fantasia. Now, Fantasia was a week where cross-dressers would come to Provincetown and walk up and down the sidewalks. And here were these big, tall men with these gorgeous dresses and wigs, and they'd have dances, and their wives, if they were married, would be with them. We went to the church, huge old church. I think it's the first church in the United States, first Unitarian church. And a surgeon was talking, and he told us about belonging to Doctors Without Borders and how he went to different countries where there was war and strife and would help people do surgery. And he'd go back 3, 4, 5 times a year to help these people. The only difference, and this man was a big man, he probably played football in high school, he was wearing a turquoise blue dress, a blonde wig, a little bit of makeup, and he told us that he realized that he had been born the wrong sex. And his wife was sitting in the front row supporting him, and that he was going to go through the surgery and become the sex he should have been from birth, a female. Listening to him talk about the many, many things he did was so inspiring. He had a therapist that he went to help him make this sex change. And one day the therapist said, okay, now John, today we're going to talk about beauty. John got up and walked out. He said, you know, here I am, this great big huge man, a male face, and I can never be beautiful. What was she talking about? And yet, this man glowed. There was something so wonderfully beautiful about who he was and what he was doing. He simply didn't see it. Well, not long ago, Nancy and I had a high school reunion, and I was going to fly to Seattle, and we were going to go together. But she said, no, I am losing sight in my left eye. I'm going to have surgery, and I don't want you to come until after I had my surgery. So I said, oh, okay, I can wait, but I didn't feel good about that. Well, she had the surgery, and she had a hemorrhage and died. So instead of going to her high school reunion, I went to her funeral. I did hear something absolutely wonderful about Nancy. She loved cats. She had about 6 cats buried all over her yard. She had every cat dug up, and the bones were mixed up with hers when she was cremated. So she had, and the Episcopal Church would never have allowed that. I thought, yes. But I went to her funeral, and the priest talked about Nancy. She was dean of the Episcopalian Seminary. How much she had brought to those students, how much she had spent, how much time talking theology to the priests. So this priest was talking about this wonderful woman, and all the time I was thinking, oh, poor Nancy. She never was loved, she never had children, she never, you know, just, oh, poor Nancy. And the priest said, the very last, you know, this was one of the most beautiful women I have ever met. This woman, Nancy Harris, was classy. And I thought, class? Where was this woman? Why didn't I see this? I was so filled with you know, sorrow for her. I never got to see this beauty and this classiness. And I thought, you know, if I had the choice between being beautiful or being classy, I would choose classy. Now, one of the things I loved to do in this church was to get response from those of you who listen, because I want to know what you're thinking and what you've experienced. So, that works. So I'd like to hear from you. And I know Unitarians always have something to say, so don't keep silent for me. Anyone? Someone has to start. Thank you.
My name is Tom Cochran. I live in St. Louis, and I have a business there. My wife and I started this business 40 years ago. It's a youth hostel for travelers. And we struggled in the beginning. Our children were newly born. My daughter was actually a newborn baby when we started. And we struggled with the business. I guess partly because St. Louis is not a well-known destination for travelers. So we expanded our business to Provincetown, which is a well-known place. I actually grew up on Cape Cod, and we moved to Provincetown when my son was 8 years old. And I started going to the Unitarian Church there. And your description of this man at the church reminded me of because our business is so busy there in Provincetown, we quite often don't know what's going on in town. I mean, we have our guests that come. They're very interesting people that come to our hostel, but when you combine a youth hostel with Provincetown, then there's that's exponentially more interesting. But anyway, I decided one Sunday I wanted to go to church, so I went to church, and everything looked more or less normal, except I noticed that there were a lot of women in the congregation. And after the sermon, the minister asked for response, and many of these women stood up and responded. And it was Crossdressers Weekend, and I was blown away by what these men had to say. And I have to say that Provincetown's an amazing place, and the Unitarian Church in Provincetown's an amazing place.
Yes.
And I invite everyone to visit Provincetown at least once. It's an amazing place.
Thank you. David.
Thank you, Sylvia. Gloria and I grew up on the East Coast and have fond memories of during our courtship going out to Provincetown and playing in the dunes. And years later, we came out to the St. Louis area, and we had both grown up Catholic, and we thought it was an obligation to bring the kids up Catholic, and we were in the Mass one day, and our son was not paying attention, and I was trying to get him to pay attention, and he said, "Dad, you know, I'm really bored, and so are all these people around us." And I looked around, and most of the people were either, you know, falling asleep or looking like they wished they were someplace else. So we came back that Sunday, and I started looking through the yellow pages for churches. And we didn't know that much about all the other religions, but we had a friend who was a Unitarian, and we liked that friend, so we thought we'd look for a Unitarian church. Well, as it turned out, someone answered the phone when we called and said, "Well, yeah, we have the Masses each Sunday, but they don't start until September because we take the summers off." And I thought, wow, a church that takes the summer. I said, wow, that's pretty impressive. I like that. So we waited around until September and came up, and the first thing that impressed us was they had a candidate for the new minister, and it was a woman. She gave an excellent sermon. It was really awe-inspiring. And then at the end of the service, at the point where we expected to get up and leave, someone from the congregation stood up and said, "You know, Sylvia, that's very interesting, but..." And then came the second half of the service, which was the counterpoint where people gave their own opinions. And we came away just amazed. A church where people are allowed to think and express their own opinions. And that's how we became Unitarians. And I guess if it hadn't been for their taking the summers off and the yellow pages and that amazing new minister, we wouldn't have enjoyed that experience. So, thank you.
Well, thank you, David. It's a very nice compliment. I really believe that Unitarians are very well-educated, thoughtful people, and you really have a lot to say after a sermon, whether it's, "Boy, are you wrong, honey," or, you know, that whatever it is you choose to share. Yes. Oh, what a lovely dog. Oh. Oh, you're beautiful.
Well, I was introduced to the Unitarian Church by Carol Wolf. I lived on the Alabama Gulf Coast, and there were Reiki gatherings in Alton once a month, and she was part of it. And I came through one time, heading up to Minnesota, And they had rented the room out that we used, so we couldn't have the Reiki gathering. So Carol said, let's go up to the church. We can use the back room there. So we did. And about halfway through the evening, I had to make a little departure from the room. And I asked her where was the men's room. She said, you go out these two doors, you put your hand on the wall on the right, and you feel the wall. When you come to an intersecting hall, you turn to the right, and you stay on the right side of that. And the second door on the right is a men's room, and the light switch is just inside the door on the left. I said, well, couldn't you turn the lights on out there? She said, no, I'd have to go downstairs to the circuit breaker box to do that. You know, this is strange. So I go out there and I get to the men's room, and then I come back. When I open the two doors to come back in, everybody's saying, what happened? What happened? She tried to get me scared half to death by what goes on downstairs at night. That was my introduction to this church. Well, I was raised Catholic, and I left there in my head when I was 10 years old. And I did have my children raised Catholic, and two of them are Baptist and one's a Methodist. But I found a wonderful church. It was the Unity Church. Mm-hmm. And when I moved back up here, there was none right in the area. There was one about 30 miles away, and I went to one service there. And the minister was a woman about 75 years old, and halfway through, half of the people were snoring. This isn't going to work.
No.
Well, then I thought one Sunday, I thought, well, at Unity Church, I think I'll check that out. And I found what I had been looking for my whole life.
Wonderful. Thank you. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. My name is Sarah, and the whole time you were talking about beauty, I'm looking at this baby over here, and she has the most beautiful fat rolls on her whole body. And I just want everybody to just take a look at this beautiful baby before they leave, because she's absolutely adorable.
Thank you. And
I have a story about beauty, I guess. My grandpa was the one who kind of taught my brothers and I like what it means to be a good person and how to treat other people. And I was sad that he had passed away before any of my kids were born, because I really wished that they could have met him and he meet them. But he used to say the funniest things, and we like always the stuff that we remember him saying, we still look back on and laugh about. But one of the things he used to always say was, there ain't no such thing as an ugly woman. So my son was sitting there with my daughters on the couch, and my oldest was 4, my son and his twin sister were 3, and the girls were sitting there watching a commercial on TV, and one of them said something to the other one about, oh, my, that girl on TV is ugly. My son just, his jaw dropped, and he just goes, no girls is ugly, and I was like, the legacy carries on. He never even heard that story, and it just was in his blood, I guess.
Well, we can do so much damage to people and to children when we label them in that way. Any other stories about finding the Unitarian Church or beauty or Ron?
All of you know that I've been a Unitarian for a long time, but when my wife and I first went to the First Unitarian Church in St. Louis, when I was coming here to go to graduate school at Washington University, we had the same experience. We were brought up Lutheran. It was August. We couldn't believe that the church wasn't open. What's wrong with the doors? Oh, that Unitarians just don't have service during summer. But we did get back and went to the church after it got open.
Yes, we all need a vacation, don't we? Yes.
Speaking of beauty, you know, I just happen to be married to a woman I think is a beautiful and wonderful person. But She's never shared my opinion about herself, you know, which I find is very true with a lot of women, because, you know, we're so tied into this idea of traditional beauty in today's world, and it's such an important and driving thing in our society, and I've never understood, you know, why that these people can't be beautiful, because the moment I met my wife, before I even exchanged a single word with her, I was actually at an event for a historical recreation society that I was part of, and I saw her across the way, and I thought, oh, who is that? And, you know, I was doing some things, so I kind of kept my eye out for a little bit, and eventually one of my friends who I had known for years and hadn't talked to for a while turned out to be the person that she was there with. And, you know, so all of a sudden, oh, I got to go and talk to Tanya. I haven't talked to her in ages. Hi, Tanya. How you been? It's been great seeing you. It's been a long time. Who's your friend? Yeah. But it's something that you simply cannot explain to people if they don't believe it, they don't see it. And it's such a shame that we have to be so wrapped up in these traditional, if you want to call them that, traditional ideas, these media-hyped ideas of beauty, that we can't see anyone who doesn't fit that mold as beautiful, because I've known lots and lots and lots of beautiful men and women who would never even be let in the doors at a contest of any sort for beauty. And I'm telling you, it's just, I don't know if, I just don't get it. And if I don't, I'm happy to not get it. But I think there's a lot of us that are missing something here.
Beautiful statement, yes. And I think it's very, very difficult. All you need to do is open a magazine or watch television and you realize your eyebrows are too thick, your nose, you need a nose job. You know, it's just on and on and on. And men are getting that now too. You know, you have these little crow's feet, well, no. And what a lot of people don't realize is the models in magazines are airbrushed. And none of us could ever, ever, ever look like that. And yet, we look in the mirror and we hate what we see, and we're just, it's a terrible thing that is happening to us. And we do see, say, beauty is skin deep, but how many of us who look at people really believe that? Or are we kind of thinking, well, it's too bad she doesn't dye her hair, too bad she doesn't, or he. So, well, thank you very much, Cleaver. Yes.